Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. It is Tuesday, January 28th. Apologize, last week we did not record because I had my leg drilled into and was very high on oxycodone. Still taking it, just not very high, just low-key, still on the pills. And Matt was very sick and still is a little bit sick, so... But we're here. We're ready to roll.
Yes, I think we're good. I sound a lot more like a person than I did last week. So
that literally sounded the worst I've ever heard. Maybe anyone sound in my entire life.
Right.
Last week, it was rough.
It was really the most sick I remember that I can ever remember being, which I think says more just like I haven't been sick very much or very often. Because it wasn't like that sick. Like, I still went to work and stuff. I just sounded terrible.
Yeah, you did sound bad. And it's a bummer for Matt because our mom is here taking care of me because I can't drive or do anything myself, really. Mom, do you want to come say hello to the good people? She's in our recording studio over here making herself some lunch.
Hello, sports world, Matt and Jake, and sports fans. How's that?
That's
exactly how we talk to the people, Mom.
That's Rebecca Cowden, everybody. But yeah, so we're here. Here's what we're going to talk about today. So Kobe Bryant passed away 2 days ago. Matt, I'm reading the book you gave me. So we're going to talk about Kobe Bryant, just kind of what we remember, some stuff on him. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. That's this Sunday. 49ers are playing the Chiefs. And then we're going to go through the league, NFL. Go through every starting quarterback and debate if their career is worth the number one overall pick. So hypothetically, like, let's say Eli Manning. That's kind of what sparked the thought for me, is why we're starting. So, like, Eli Manning, if the Giants would have known the career he had, would they use the number one overall pick on him? So we're going to go through every starting quarterback in the league and play that game. But first, Kobe Bryant. Matt, I found out from our friend Connor Peck. He texted me and Mom were at church, and I was using my phone to sing the hymn. And text message came through from high school friend Connor Peck. So shout out to Connor. It said Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash. And I was hoping it was fake, you know. So then I, got out of that, Googled it. And I saw, like, a lot of TMZ stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, I don't think it's real. And then I saw Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted it, and anything he says, you know, it's going to be sourced, it's going to be verified. So that just kind of, I got teary-eyed, and I've honestly been, like, teary-eyed and emotional the last couple of days, like, seeing all the videos and the tributes, and Matt for Christmas got me the Kobe's book, The Mamba Mentality. So I've been going through that today. I was watching his show on ESPN Plus Detail, and I did not think it would hit me this hard, but this is really, obviously, on a magnitude level, it's not even the same thing as 9/11, but that's really the only kind of thing I can remember in my life where it seemed like the world stopped, you know?
Yeah, well, excuse me. I think Kobe was just like, I've kind of been thinking about that, and he was like, more than like a person. He just seemed so much bigger than life, you know, like Bomani Jones. I don't remember on which show, maybe Highly Questionable, but the stories that we tell each other about Kobe is like John Henry, Paul Bunyan type stuff. You know, we talk about, you know, him tearing his Achilles and then getting up and making the free throws, or when he tore his rotator cuff. So he just played the rest of the game left-handed and was shooting left-handed and stuff. And, you know, going to the gym. And so I think all that stuff, I think that was why it was so hard to believe, is he just seemed, you know, so much greater than a person, like a folk legend or like a superhero or something. And then I just think it was so sad, because anytime there's an untimely death, for me, the tragedy is just all the things that the people wanted to do and we think that they were going to do. And, you know, Kobe, he obviously finished his basketball career, but there was just so much more stuff that you could tell that he was really excited about, and he was going to do really important things that would, you know, impact his family first and foremost, which was most visible with Gianna, but clearly with his other daughters. But then, you know, even for us, like you talked about him doing detail or the Mamba mentality. He wrote these fantasy books called the Wizenard series that I was really excited to read, and I regretted, you know, not reading them before he died. But, you know, there was no reason to think that I was in a hurry. So I just figured that I would have time to read them sometime down the line. And just, you know, now we're not going to hear those stories that he had left to tell.
Yeah, in fact, because he was doing so well. So many athletes, and really, really kind of anyone, when you move on from a certain chapter of your life, you struggle to go to the next one and find out what you're going to do, find that next sense of purpose. And he just did it seamlessly. He won an Oscar, you know, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
He was writing. He was coaching. And yeah, I think because Gianna, the daughter who also was in the helicopter with him, was most into basketball out of his children, that's just was the most visible relationship that the public saw. So, and it's just like, I don't think ironic's the right word, but just sad, but kind of just fitting that he died doing what he loved, like being a dad, going to her basketball game, you know? And for me, yeah, like the first shock, superhero was the word I kept using. It's just like an invincible, because me and you, and I think most of our friends are the age where Michael Jordan, we knew how great he was, but also we were 5 or 6 in his last NBA finals against the Jazz. So we don't really, the Jordan we saw was with the Wizards, and we just heard about it and we watched Space Jam and everything. But Kobe was the guy we actually watched and was a superstar growing up in our childhood, was really the guy and just kind of the consensus best player in the NBA. The guy, kind of the next Jordan. And honestly, watching someone live, Kobe Bryant and Messi are the two athletes that I've seen that were just so much better than everyone else. I saw Messi on my senior trip in college in Spain, and then Kobe Bryant is the first basketball game that I remember going to. So, Matt, I imagine you were with me because we're twins, so we did everything growing up together. But the Jazz were playing the Lakers, and there's Kobe Bryant. He was hitting like what seemed to me like half-court shots. I'm sure they weren't, but he was just making everything. I was just like, what is happening? How does he keep doing this? And it was just kind of from there, I wasn't really not a Lakers fan. I didn't really have any pro or negative feelings toward him as a player, but it was just one of those, like, you had to watch Kobe Bryant play just because something crazy was always going to happen. And I think when I think of Kobe, like, basketball wise, I think that first game I saw live, I think of the series against the Jazz in the, I think it was 2008 or something, in that like late 2010s, the Western Conference semifinals, where that was the best Jazz team since Stockton and Malone, and Kobe just kind of annihilated them. Matt's still recovering. The 2010 finals where they beat the Celtics, and there's that image of Kobe running on the court with his hands up and just, you know, pure joy. Those are the three like basketball moments I think of Kobe wise, but man, it's still weird. Just hasn't sunk in. I don't know when it's going to sink in.
I know. Yeah, it is weird. And then it just keeps kind of hitting me like throughout, you know, now it's 3 days later, 2.5 days later, every hour. So it's just like, ugh, gosh. And then it hits me like Kobe's gone. But The thing that I, you know, or one of the things that I keep thinking about, obviously, besides his family and the other families that were on the helicopter, is just how, and I talked before about him kind of being this like legend, folk hero character. I don't think that any other basketball player, and I would include Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan in this, even before this happened, I don't think anybody influenced the NBA quite as much as Kobe has. Because if you look at the NBA, like right after Michael Jordan, I feel like the only player who was really trying to pattern his game like Michael Jordan was Kobe Bryant. He wasn't necessarily, and he said, I'm not trying to be the next Michael Jordan. I want to be the only Kobe Bryant, that's kind of funny to say now. He wants to be the only Kobe Bryant. Where now I feel like half the guys in the league now, they're trying to be the next Kobe Bryant, not necessarily in the way they play, although a lot of them, it is the way they play, and they've taken a lot of his moves and his footwork. But just in that Mamba mentality, that is the title of his book and this thing that he talked about, just everybody in the NBA, they understand that if you want to be the best, you've got to work hard. And that was the thing that always interested me about Kobe Bryant, is that I feel like more than even like musicians or actors or scientists or athletes or whatever, you could see most clearly and openly in him that, like, if you really want to be the best, these are the extreme levels that you have to go to, and I'm the only one who's willing to go to these extreme levels. And I really appreciated that, almost even just on an intellectual level.
Yeah, because it really does apply to everything. There's so many stories you'll hear. Like, Jay Williams told the story of he went to he was playing in the NBA, and like, they had a game against the Lakers, so he went to get some shots up, and Kobe was there already in the gym getting shots up before the game. And after the game, Jay Williams asked him, like, why, like, something like, why are you doing it? Like, how early do you get there? Like, why do you do this like that? And Kobe said, well, I saw you going, and I wanted you to know, no matter how hard you work, you're not gonna outwork me. So it's kind of, Kobe wanted to sell this hopelessness, if you will, in his competitors, is like, you will not beat me. Just like this indomitant willpower that no one else had. You know, Matt, me and you, our favorite quote from, my favorite for sure, and I think this is yours as well, but our favorite quote from Kobe Bryant is, I don't know the context per se, but it was an interview, and he was talking, someone asked him, like, you know, because he is so, I don't know the right word, but he's so determined, so stubborn in terms of, like, you know, it's his way, it's the right way. What's, like, how does that affect his friendships? And Kobe said, you know, friendships come and go, but banners hang forever. And that was just kind of the mentality he had. And Phil Jackson talked about Kobe was frustrating because what he was trying to get Kobe to understand was that Kobe Bryant's 10, and this is quoting Bomani, is where this story came from, but Kobe Bryant's 10 isn't everyone else's 10. So what Kobe perceives as someone else's 7 is really their 10, and that's also what made Kobe great, is that he was just innately born with that desire to be great that other people just didn't have, no matter how hard they worked. They just couldn't do what Kobe did. Kevin Durant told a story at Team USA, how he was so proud of himself one morning, like, the team got up early, they were eating breakfast and going to go get some shots up, and how hard they were working. And then in breakfast, Kobe Bryant walked in drenched in sweat because he'd already had a workout by himself before he was doing the team stuff. And everyone else was just like, what is wrong with you? You know what I mean? But also just that admiration that everybody had. So, yeah, I mean, there's only one Kobe, and I don't know him, so I'm not, it's weird that I'm like sad, but, and I don't know, it's hit me harder than I definitely thought it would. I think it hit everyone harder than they thought it would. All right, and Matt is having some technical difficulties, but that was kind of the wrap up of the Kobe talk anyway, so we'll be right back and we'll get into Super Bowl stuff and the first round quarterback things. So take a quick break and be right back. Welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. We don't have commercials, so that was about a 2-second break for y'all, but do appreciate the patience. Matt, sounds like we're back up, ready to roll.
Think so. Let's hope so.
All right, let's talk about Super Bowl, Matt. Kansas City Chiefs, first time they've been there in 50 years versus the San Francisco 49ers. It's going to be hard for me because grew up a 49ers fan myself, so I'm very biased, but I'm going to try to be objective. I feel like I do a pretty good job for the most part about being objective, but love the Niners. Got a T.O. jersey when I was like 7 or something like that. Big Steve Young guy, Patrick Willis, favorite football player of all time. So I'm excited. And Matt and I lived in South America last time the 49ers were in the Super Bowl. So this will be my first time seeing the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So I'm excited. It's going to be a close game. I don't think either team is going to blow out. There's such contrasting styles. The Chiefs pass about 61% of the time And I don't have the run rate for the 49ers, but they led the league in rush percentage of design rush plays this year. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I do think the 49ers are going to win. So, man, I don't know where you want to start with this, but.
I think the interesting question for me is going to be, or I guess the weakest link or the thing that's going to be the big challenge to overcome, or at least the thing that, you know, the regular fan would perceive, is how is the Chiefs defense going to stop the 49ers offense? Because I think we feel like, the Chiefs have the best offense in the league, except for maybe when Lamar was really hot. But then the 49ers have the best defense. Then the Chiefs defense being, I think, the weakest of the four, football units. So, excuse me. But I would say let's start there and then see if we can fit everything else into place.
Yeah, as far as like how the Chiefs are going to stop the 49ers defense, I think the Chiefs, their best defensive player, I think it's safe to say, is Tyrann Mathieu. Would we agree on that?
He's at least the one that I know the best.
Yeah, favorite player, though, is BYU alum Dan Thornton.
Oh, love me some Dan.
He had a couple big, big plays in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So he actually is a pretty good player. But there, and then they got Frank Clark on the edge, who Kansas City. I don't know why they did this, because they traded Dee Ford to San Francisco, actually. Got a second-round pick out of it, and then traded Kansas City, gave up a first-round pick for Frank Clark. So I don't see the logic there. But they did that. So Frank Clark's coming off the edge. He is probably in the same category as Tyrann Mathieu. But what the 49ers doing, Kyle Shanahan's going to have 2 weeks to prepare for this because they get the bye week between the championship week and the Super Bowl, is you just don't know who has the ball. And the hard part, it's kind of like when you're playing a triple option. I know this isn't a triple option game, the 49ers, but the hardest part of that is not trusting your eyes, but trusting your responsibility and being where you're supposed to be as a defender, especially in the front seven, filling your gap. If you're supposed to be in the A gap, be in the A gap. If you're supposed to, hit the quarterback, go to the quarterback, not trusting yourself, but trusting the scheme, if that makes sense. And that's just so hard to do, especially with the Niners. These pre-snap motion almost 80% of the time, where they're sending their tight end or they move the running backs around, just so as a defense you get set up, but then you're not set up because they're going to do something. You have to adjust on the fly to that. So I don't think I don't think the Chiefs defense are going to be able to stop the 49ers. They're not going to drop 40. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think, like you said, I think the difference between the 49ers offense and the Chiefs defense is greater than the Chiefs offense to the 49ers defense. So that's why I think San Francisco has the best shot to win. I'm worried, though, because if, let's say, Jimmy Garoppolo has a couple turnovers, Mahomes gets like a 10-point lead or something like that, that's going to be hard to come back from. Vice versa, though, Kansas City has started slow in all their playoff games and had these huge holes to come back from, which they've done. And that shows a certain quality in a team. But it's going to be harder to do that against San Francisco than it was Tennessee. But to be fair to Kansas City, Tennessee tried to play in a 49er style in the sense that they wanted to run the ball and grind it out with Derrick Henry when they had that lead. And Kansas City prevented them from doing that. So maybe we're not giving enough credit to Kansas City's defense. But I think 49ers are a better team, better offense than Tennessee's to begin with.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely true. And they, no matter what you think about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is better than he gets credit for. I don't know if he's at least great, but he certainly, I think, has more weapons than Tennessee has.
Yeah, Tennessee has Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown's rookie from Ole Miss. He had a great year. Corey Davis in Tennessee, Western Michigan wide receiver in college, first-round pick. I think he was the eighth pick, but don't quote me on that. But he was the first within the top 15 picks. He's been a bit underwhelming. The 49ers have George Kittle, who's really replaced Gronk as the best overall tight end. Because what Gronk did that was so great, he was just a pure pass-catching threat, but also the best run-blocking tight end in the league. And he retired, and George Kittle seemed like literally just replaced him right away in that role. And Travis Kelce's
a Can I real quick say on Kittle, though, I saw him get interviewed on media night for a thing they were talking about Kobe. And he did not look like I thought he was going to look like. He looked like a pre-glammed up Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not the best looking guy.
Yeah, which is, and you know, he's playing football, that's fine, but I was expecting like a Travis Kelce type of a person, you know what I mean? So I was shocked when it's like, oh, you look kind of like a regular person.
Yeah, but, you know, not putting, yeah, Kittle, other than being enormous, like he just looks like a normal dude. He's living his best life, though. You know, more fun than anyone else in the National Football League.
Right. Yeah. Good for him, man.
Yeah. So he's doing good. He's a fun guy. Yeah. Fifth round pick out of Iowa. And he talked of like one quote he had this season, just talking about like kind of his going from a fifth round pick to best tight end in the league. He just said, like, you know, Midwest kid now I'm playing professional football in California. Doesn't get any better than that, you know? So, living the dream. But yeah, he run blocked where Travis Kelce is just a receiver in a tight end's body where he doesn't have that run blocking ability. As a 49ers fan, though, what I'm worried about is how we're going to cover, and this is a problem with any team facing Kansas City, but how are you going to cover both Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill? 49ers play that cover three scheme that Seattle made famous, that Atlanta ran / runs with Dan Quinn. Robert Saleh was in Seattle with Pete Carroll, why he brought that down to San Francisco. So Richard Sherman did almost as exclusively as on the left side of the field. Against Green Bay in the NFC Championship, he did shadow Davante Adams, but not exclusively. So I don't know like what Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for San Francisco, determined. This is worth shadowing. This is not. Green Bay had him lined up in the slot as well, and Hill and Kelce are going to be in the slot, so they're going to have to come up with some way to stop them. Especially because Niners' worst or weakest position, probably on the entire football team, is the other cornerback opposite Richard Sherman. So I feel Andy Reid, and I don't know how to pronounce his name, but the offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, I believe.
Bieniemy, yeah, one of those.
They're going to come up, what their game plan is going to be, come up with ways to mismatch Kelce and Tyreek Hill on that second cornerback. So even though it's a zone-heavy scheme where it's not exclusively like man-to-man, like cornerback versus that receiver, a lot of times it does end up like that, and, you know, it's a loose zone. So that's what Kansas City's going to try to do, and San Francisco knows that. So that's the matchup I'm interested to see is Kansas City's weapons versus the non-Richard Sherman cornerback for San Francisco.
Yeah, that's going to be the fun one, and that's the one that nobody in the league has had an answer to yet. So,
yeah,
that'll be the.
Who do you think will win, Matt?
I think, you know, I'm gonna. It's hard to say. I'm gonna say Kansas City just because I think that offense is so powerful. I think they've got so many different weapons. And I know the 49ers defense is just so great, but they haven't faced an offense quite like this, which isn't a knock on anybody else in the league. It's just that this is a Super Bowl winning offense. And, you know, and maybe that's just me. You know, I love Andy Reid. I'd really love to see Andy Reid, you know, get a Super Bowl, silence all the people like me saying that he can't get a Super Bowl. So I'd like to see that happening. And that's probably clouding my judgment a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're both a bit biased. I think most of the country are going to be cheering for Kansas City because of Andy Reid.
Yeah. What a weird thing that most of the country would want a coach to win a championship. You know, I've never really heard of anything like that. It's not like, I don't know, like if Coach K hadn't won a championship. Coach K is a bad example, but like John Calipari. It's not like if John Calipari had never won a championship, I'd be like, ooh, we really want Cal to get one. Or like Villanova's coach, they hadn't won for a long time, or Virginia. Nobody wanted, you know, Virginia to win for their coach.
Yeah, so We'll see what happens. I'm excited. We'll talk more about it post Super Bowl as well. Just because there's not really much to talk about right now. We've had kind of 2 weeks off from, or a week and a half off from football. 49ers defense, what they're going to be able to do. Why, last thought, and then we can go to the quarterback thing, but why I think the 49ers, I don't know how they're going to do it, but the 49ers have the best defensive line, I think, in the NFL. They got Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead are great. They got D Ford, who I think is going to be close to 100% healthy, who was traded from Kansas City. Nick Bosa, man, has been incredible. I'm so glad the Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray, and they, you know, they, it looks like they're making the right call there, but that led the Niners draft Nick Bosa. So very happy there. Because of that, though, the Niners don't have to bring pressure to get to Patrick Mahomes. The problem is Patrick Mahomes, you know, he can keep his eyes downfield. He's a threat to all of us. Plus, he showed ability to make plays with his feet as well. So the good thing for the – bad news for the 49ers, though, is even though they're bringing pressure with four, that Mahomes can still escape and get the ball out quick. The good news, though, is they at least have more defenders to try to prevent Mahomes from doing damage. So that's why I think the 49ers defense has a shot. I think it's going to be in the 30s-ish. Score-wise for both teams, probably, though. I think it's going to be a higher-scoring game. I don't know what the over-under is, but I think it's going to be both teams will be in the 30. I think the 49ers will win. But it'll be close. I'm excited to see what happens. And, Matt, let's move on to that first-round quarterback game, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so, you know, this, again, in my mind, where this came from, everyone's talking about Eli Manning. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? Is he a Hall of Famer? And I just got to thinking, you know, if teams could look back and say, you know, this is the career, that's the wins this guy will give you, would you use a number one pick on him or not? And so we're just going to go through real quick. Some quarterbacks will be quicker than others, but and say, would we use first round pick on X quarterback? Knowing their career, knowing how it stands, and for that specific team, would you use a number one overall pick? Or is that not worth it? Would it be in a better position to either draft a different player, like a position player, or trade down, get more picks? So, Matt, let's just go through division by division real quick. That's probably the easiest way. Are you ready to roll?
I'm ready.
All right, because it's in honor of Eli Manning, let's start with the NFC East. New York Giants, I'm going to say yes to Eli just because the two Super Bowls make it worth it, no matter how bad he was everywhere else.
Absolutely, yeah. If you tell me that a player is going to play for 20 years and you're going to win two Super Bowls, that's a good deal. No matter what, if you're the Cowboys, if you're the Patriots, that's a good deal, and you take it.
Yeah, so I think we're both in agreement on that. Pretty much any Super Bowl is going to be yes. So there'll be some more interesting ones. Washington Redskins. I don't know. Too soon to say on Dwayne Haskins. Case Keenum is obviously a no for me. Same boat, I imagine, for you.
Yeah, I feel. Now, is this would I use it, or would they use it?
Would you use the number one pick on Dwayne Haskins? Because Case Keenum, I think. Well, I guess you can say Case Keenum too.
Yeah, Case Keenum. No, Dwayne Haskins. I think as of now, like a first round pick is probably fine. I don't know. I probably not the number one overall pick though.
Okay. What about the Eagles, Carson Wentz?
Yes, I know he's been injured, and I know he's had problems, but he's also played at the level of an MVP. And so I just think that ceiling, that level of talent is hard to find. So yes.
Yeah, I would use the number one pick as well. Just because literally he was going to win the MVP that year he got hurt, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl with Foles anyway. And at this point, you're banking on a talented quarterback who's been injured and had a down year compared to his standard, but banking on that talent to kind of rise up. And, Matt, last one in that division is Dak Prescott.
I have the hardest time judging Prescott of any quarterback in the NFL just because – I feel like it fluctuates so much with the offensive line and, you know, the weapons around him and how the defense is playing even. And so, but because of that, I almost want to say no. If it's going to fluctuate so much, you probably say no.
I'd say no as well on Dak. I'm lower on him than most. He did have a really good year this year in terms of numbers, but he's one of the ones first round pick. I just feel like you can get value. I feel like if you're not using like the number one overall pick on a quarterback, if you're not drafting the guy, you can get a different like Dak was in the fourth round, you know, like you can get someone in the later rounds and hope with a good roster stuff comes out of it. Like other quarterbacks we'll talk about. So I would not use the number one overall pick on Dak. Let's go to the NFC South, Matt. Let's go. There are going to be some interesting ones here. Let's go with the no-brainer, though. Drew Brees. I think that's the obvious number one overall pick. You'd use that.
Yeah, you would use, you know, four or five.
Yeah. So here are two of the interesting ones. Cam Newton. Would you use, knowing the career he had, Cam was the number one overall pick when he came out of college. Would you use the number one overall pick on Cam Newton, knowing the career he's had? Never won a Super Bowl, won an MVP. What are your thoughts?
Yes, he's clearly good enough to win a Super Bowl. The only reason he didn't is because he came against, you know, literally, and you would know better than me, one of the five best defenses we've seen in the history of the NFL. And so, yeah, I mean, in different circumstances, you know, he hits right in the right situation. He's a Super Bowl quarterback, so, and I think that's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's all you can ask for. I use it on him just because, I mean, you got to, yeah. No, I use it on Cam as well. If you win MVP, you definitely could have won the Super Bowl that year. It's really been, I'd like to see more years of, like, giving you your team a chance to win the Super Bowl than Cam's given Carolina. But overall, it's so hard to find. So, yeah, I'd use number one on Cam for sure. What about Matt Ryan? Matt, this one I think is kind of at the top of would you, wouldn't you, with Matt Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly a franchise quarterback. At least he has been for parts of his career. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they go to that Super Bowl if you have a player worse than him, so probably yes.
Yeah, I think even if you don't, obviously everyone wants to win, but there's value in being a consistent winner. And even though, like, every specific year they might not have had a chance with Matt Ryan and Cam Newton as well for the most part, but it was if you could get a team, a good enough team, where you didn't have to build, you didn't have to, like, make the best supporting cast in the entire league, but, like, if you could do your job as a general manager, you would have a shot to get to the Super Bowl. So that's all you can ask. So I would go number one on Matt Ryan, but both him and Cam are kind of at the lower end for me on what you'd use a number one overall pick for. Last one in that division is Jameis. He actually led the NFL in passing yards this season, had 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. I'd go no on Jameis there as far as the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I think you go no, especially you look at other positions that you can use.
Yeah. All right, Matt, let's go to the NFC West. So let's start in Seattle. Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl MVP candidate. I don't think he's going to win this year, but I think he's a top three quarterback in the league right now. I think easy number one there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt, what are your thoughts? Super Bowl quarterback we just talked about.
I feel like we still don't know enough about him. From it seems, you know, the way from what I've seen and the way people talk about him, it seems like you could put a lot of other quarterbacks in his place and have similar success. So because of that, I'm going to say no.
I think I'm going to say no as well on Jimmy, just because it's so, the raw numbers aren't great. He has an insane winning percentage between those three wins in New England. I guess it was two wins. Between those starts in New England plus in San Francisco, he's won an absurd amount of games, and he's been injured when they've been losing games for the most part. So, but I'm going to go no just because I think he's one of those quarterbacks where, like, you can get someone at his level in the second round, in the third round, in the fourth round, and you're going to be, it's not a guarantee, obviously, but like you can find those there. So that's why I'd say no on him as well. What about Kyler Murray, Arizona, the number one, the current number one overall pick?
I'd say the current trajectory, probably yes, wouldn't you? You know, he's got more to prove, but I think that he's shown that he's clearly talented.
Yeah, I think I'd go yes as well on him. He outperformed my expectations for him. And, you know, they were only, I think they were 5-12-1 off the top of my head as far as the Cardinals, but I thought he played pretty well, you know, showed some accuracy, and we saw the skills that he had at Oklahoma. The scrambling drills, you know, avoiding pressure, which really made up for Arizona's bad offensive line. So I'd go yes on Kyler as well. Obviously, it's too soon to say, but if you were a GM, you can say, do you have Kyler Murray's already shown he's done this at the NFL level, or a new guy, and good luck, see what happens. I think everyone would take Kyler because it's so hard to project going from college to professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's what I think. Just he's done enough in that first year where I would say yes, but yeah, like I said, let's see a little bit more.
Yeah. What about NFC North? So we got Andy Dalton as Cincinnati Bengals. I would go no, because, you know, he was a second. I think he's the kind of guy like you can find in the second round. And they went to, I think, four straight playoffs with him. He showed that if there's a good team around him, he can be a playoff quarterback. They were a couple of weird plays away from winning some of those games. They were never a real threat to win the Super Bowl, but they were a consistent winner for a long time. So I'd go no as far as number one overall pick. That's like he's going to be part of the reason you're winning the Super Bowl versus a quarterback who can be on a Super Bowl team. But so I'd put him in like the Dak range, honestly. And I know Dak's been a little better than Andy Dalton, but I think Andy Dalton, when the Bengals were going to the playoffs, that's kind of where Dak's been at, you know?
Right. Yeah, Andy Dalton, he might be my first one out, but I think he's out. Just for what you said. He's just like not quite the reason that you're winning the Super Bowl.
And what about also in that division? Oh, wait, I'm an idiot. He's in the AFC North. I'm so stupid. Let's just do AFC North, then we'll do the NFC, then North, then do the rest of the AFC. So I profusely apologize to everybody for my lack of whatever there, but
I was wondering why we'd jump to the AFC.
Yeah, that was my bad. Let's just finish out the AFC North while we're here. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore, I'd go number one in a heartbeat, no question. He'd be the number one pick. I would take out anybody right now if there was like a fantasy draft.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. He'd certainly be in the top two or three, but yeah, certainly number one pick, absolutely.
Yeah. What about Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes. Yeah. Looking back on his career, a couple of Super Bowls, some really great seasons with Antonio Brown. So, yes.
Yeah, I'd go there as well. Number one. And last one, Baker Mayfield, number one overall pick from a couple of years ago.
That one's tricky. I mean, his first year, I probably would have said yes, but after this last year and just kind of how things have kind of fallen apart, probably say no.
See, I think I'd go yes, and this might be the first one we disagree on, but I think I'd go yes because I trust his rookie year. I know like when he was playing well, it was against bad competition, but you know, I thought he was in this class, I think the best quarterback coming out. I just think he's too good, and I think there's just a Freddie Kitchens problem more than anything else is why I'm rolling with Baker. So I'd go yes on Baker, but it would be kind of in that low end of, like, I'd be very nervous about it.
Right, yeah, he's definitely in the bottom tier if we are putting him in that tier.
Yeah. All right, so I guess let's finish out the NFC North, Matt. So let's go to Detroit, Matt Stafford. What are your thoughts? He was the number one overall pick in 2009, I believe. 2008, maybe.
Yeah, he's probably yes, if for no other reason than, you know, he's just been good, and it's you know, you got kind of got to remember that he played for the Lions, and Calvin Johnson left the Lions just because he felt like they were incapable of winning. So can't put all of the not lack of success on him. I think part of it is just, you know, being part of that organization. So, but I mean, he's put up, you know, good numbers and has been a good quarterback despite the lack of winning.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he's talented. I wish Jim Caldwell is still in Detroit because they were doing pretty well compared to Detroit standards. And it's frustrating situation, but talent wise, I think you can't ask for better than Matt Stafford. I think if he was in a different situation, they'd be better. And I think Stafford's a smart player, and it's just because he's in Detroit, it's easy to say, you know, he's not that good. We need a different guy. But really, if you're looking talent-wise, if you're looking smarts-wise, you're not going to get a lot better than Stafford. So I think Stafford's an easy number one overall pick. Next, Green Bay. It's pretty easy. Aaron Rodgers, most talented talent-wise, might be the most talented quarterback ever. So that's an easy yes for both of us, I assume.
Yeah, you use like – that's another one where you use like six number one overall picks if you can.
Yeah, just use any pick you can to get them. What about Minnesota, Kirk Cousins?
I'm going to say yes. You know, I know there have been, you know, some problems with Kirk Cousins and some doubters, but, like, he puts up good numbers and he wins. And so I think, you know, you probably use yes, even if he's, you know, he's probably right above, like, Matt Ryan for me.
Right above Matt Ryan.
Yes.
See, I'd have him out, but like just right on the cusp of being out as far as that like number one overall pick level, just because I feel like you can get close to that in the middle rounds of the draft, what Kirk Cousins done. Stats-wise, he's been incredible, but I guess I'm unfairly questioning his like if he can be one of the pro reasons that a team gets to and wins the Super Bowl as opposed to like just – you know, the reason they don't win, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go no. So our only disagreements are Baker, I said yes, you said no, and Kirk Cousins, you said no. You said yes, I said no on that one.
Yeah, but we're in the same zone, I think, with pretty much all of these guys.
Yeah, I agree. And the last one in that division is Chicago, Mitch Trubisky. He was the number two overall pick the year he came out, same as Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. No, I'd say a Mitch as far as number one overall pick.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Chicago would say no right about now.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go AFC East. Easy one, New England, Tom Brady. Yes.
Yep.
New York Jets. Sam Darnold, what do you think? He was the number one, three pick when he got drafted.
Yeah, you know, I would. I mean, I think the Jets would probably use the number one overall pick on him. I think that I might be a little bit more hesitant. You know, and this might be a more accurate place with Kirk Cousins, maybe. Or like a Matt Ryan, maybe you don't want the number one overall pick on them, but maybe they're still a first rounder. That, I think, kind of is where Sam Darnold is. Maybe he's a top 10 pick, but he's not a number one overall pick.
Yeah. What about – yeah, I don't know. I think – I guess I need to get my answer. I would say – I guess I'd say yes because, like – at this point, I think Sam Darnold, like, let's, like, you know, talking about guys this year, there's Tua and Joe Burrow. I don't think they're any more secure than Darnold would be. So I'd say yes, but I'm real, real nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say yes on Darnold, but don't feel good about it. Josh Allen in Buffalo.
I would say no. I would say no. I mean, I think he's good. I think he's a good back, like very back of the first round, like 32 or whatever Lamar Jackson actually went.
Yeah, I wouldn't go number one overall. I don't think he's that good, honestly. So I just wouldn't even draft him at all.
Oh, like at all.
Yeah, literally, like I just wouldn't. Like maybe if he's a like someone like him, obviously not dropping, but like if for whatever reason he dropped a lot, and I'd be like, yeah, like at this point, you know, low risk, let's take a flyer on him. So, but I would go no there, like completely. On
that's interesting. Yeah, we haven't had that yet. It's just a complete no thank you.
So and last one in that division is, you know, Fitzpatrick is in Miami right now, and I guess he's technically a starter, but for sake of argument, let's say Josh Rosen, because I think that's hypothetically they're probably going to draft quarterback anyway, but I think Josh Rosen more of an interesting debate because I loved him coming out of college. He was top 10 pick, drafted by Arizona, obviously, and then Kyler Murray thing happened. His career's been frustrating, but he's been on just two really bad teams and not a lot going for him. But also you've seen quarterbacks in bad situations be able to, like Kyler Murray, for example, be able to raise the talent up and make it work. So I want to say yes on Josh Rosen, but just based on the career, I think the talent's still there, but like a number one overall pick, I probably wouldn't do on Josh Rosen just because hypothetically, if it is the guy you're using number one overall pick on, you'd be able to see like an impact right away and not needing everything to be going right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think justifying a number one overall pick is pretty difficult with Josh Rosen. It's odd that it hasn't worked out, though, you know? Like, you would think that, you know, somewhere along the line he would have figured out how to get something going for himself. Like, I just really... And it's not just like he's a total bust, it's just like he hasn't had any opportunity at all.
Yeah. No, I agree. Just has an opportunity. It's one of the things, like, if Josh Rosen was in, I don't know, like New Orleans or something, he just got to not hang out for a couple years, but sit and learn it. Or even a place like the Giants where he was, you know, behind Eli. Oh, he would have been perfect for the Giants, Josh Rosen would have been. So that's really frustrating for me. But just in Arizona, bad roster situation. Then they draft Kyler Murray, so he gets traded to a different team on just the second year he's in the NFL. And you know, who knows what's going on in Miami. So he's had as little of an opportunity as anyone has. So that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. But hopefully he figures it out. But yeah, I'd say no on the number one overall pick. And AFC South, Deshaun Watson, I think, is an easy yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the top quarterback in the NFL right now, I think. You know what's cool, Matt, is let's see. So there's Russell Wilson. There's no particular order. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. You could argue those are the top four quarterbacks in the league, and they're all African American.
Yes, which we would not have. When I say that we wouldn't have seen it coming even like 2 or 3 years ago, it's not like me and you have never thought that, you know, black athletes couldn't play quarterback. It's just that they weren't given the opportunity. So when I say that we wouldn't have seen it coming, I mean to say we wouldn't have seen, you know, this many quarterbacks getting an opportunity all at the same time and all of them hitting all at the same time. You know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly.
But so yeah, no, it's cool to see.
Yeah. Speaking of that, next right now for Indianapolis, it's Jacoby Brissett is the starter there. I think it's probably an easy number one overall pick, right? Or sorry, no on that, right?
No, I mean, I think he's good. Certainly not good enough for a number one overall pick, but
yeah. And in the AFC South, there's Jacksonville. Are we saying Nick Foles or Gardner Minshew is the starter there?
Unfortunately, I think we have to say Gardner Minshew.
I'd go no, but he's one of those quarterbacks where, you know, you find him late in the draft and he can be productive, at least, you know, make your team not terrible for a bit. So in that sense, I'd go Gardner. No, but good. It's kind of guy you want to draft.
Yeah, what a strange set of circumstances that ended up being.
Yeah. And last team, there's Tennessee. Who are we counting there, Marcus or Ryan Tannehill? I'd probably say no on both of them anyway, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you'd say no on both of them anyway, but I mean, their starter was Ryan Tannehill. Is Marcus Mariota, see, that one to me is even weird. Like, that one was supposed to be, like, more surefire success than, like, any quarterback. He was supposed to be, like, automatic good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of a bummer there. And then AFC West, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I think anyone would use the number one pick. He's probably in the discussion with Lamar Jackson for number one overall pick out of anybody right now.
Yes, yeah. No, I think him or Lamar would be the couple of guys that you would want. Russell Wilson being the other one, but those other two guys are a lot younger than Russell Wilson is. So, and really probably more talented. Russell's just got this thing of like, you know, if you're at the end of the game, he's going to win it for you.
Yeah. And then there's Derek Carr. Derek Carr's a tricky one. He's another one of those, like, kind of right on the border, I think. And I don't even have an answer yet. So while I think about it, what would you say on Derek Carr?
I mean, like, probably, you know, if he's in the border, you should probably say no. I feel like for the most part. I would say no because I think that, you know, like, he had, like, Amari Cooper, and he's had good – and I guess he's had some good teams. I just feel like it's not enough where it's – like, I've never felt like the Raiders are going to win a Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, I guess you're right. If you're trending – you don't want your number one overall pick to be on the border, so no for me on Derek Carr. And, you know, he was another one who, like, almost won that MVP. Who won it that year? When Carson Wentz got hurt, was it Derek Carr? Am I making that up? Because I didn't think he won, but now I'm like double questioning myself. There's no way he actually won the MVP, though, right?
Yeah, I didn't think that it was Derek Carr.
Third, that's what it was. Yeah, because I remember he's in a discussion, but I was like, "There's no way he actually won." But yeah,
who did win?
So I will look it up. Let's see, 2016. Or not 2016, 2017, 18. It was the 2018 Super Bowl.
Right.
Great content right here. But it's the 2017 season. Brady won.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds right, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah, so no on Carr. What about Philip Rivers? He's not going to be the quarterback going forward, but, you know, he was drafted fourth overall. Chargers technically drafted Eli Manning, but traded for Philip Rivers. He, I think, is better player than Eli Manning, but, you know, only one. I think it's only won 8 playoff games in 5 playoffs, if I have that number right. So not really doing a lot playoff-wise. And they've had a pretty good team. It's just been, like, frustrating for the most part. So, Philip Rivers is talent-wise, I think, is probably an easy yes. But when you look at the career he had, it's a more of a, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd still probably take him. He's had a lot of really good seasons and put up a lot of really good numbers. It's hard for me to blame the lack of playoff success on him. You know, I mean, I guess there were those seasons where they had a LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates that they should have done better.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You just mean so much to the franchise that I still feel like you still probably do.
I'd say probably yes, just because I think there's value in, like, even though they didn't really do a lot on the field, like, if you look at the big picture, you always had a chance, like, if we can just get a good team, you know, we're going to have a shot. And I think there was a little bit of bad luck, at least there, as far as Rivers goes. So I would say yes. And there's value in just having that consistency. Like, you know, if a few things go right, if we get the good team, we'll have a shot to win the Super Bowl. You not have to build the entire team around the quarterback. So I'd go yes, but it'd be a harder sell for me on Philip Rivers, but I'd ultimately go yes, I think. And then last one is the Broncos. That's kind of too early to tell because probably Drew Lock, Joe Flacco. Let's do Joe Flacco. So we had that one really good, not even season, but had the one really good playoff one run in 2012 where they won the Super Bowl over the 49ers. Other than that, it's been less than spectacular. Lost his job last year to a Lamar Jackson that really couldn't throw. It's not even close to the Lamar Jackson we saw this year. What are your thoughts on Flacco?
They had the one Super Bowl and he was obviously with the Ravens, and I'm assuming that we take, you know, his Ravens career into account with the Broncos. But I would probably say even the Niners, even the Broncos, I think, could hope for a better quarterback than Joe Flacco, you know, so. I would probably say no on Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I'd say no too, I think. Just because even though they won the Super Bowl and he played really good in that postseason, the defense, it wasn't like 2000 Ravens, but still like a really good Ravens defense. A lot of things going for him. So I'd say no on Flacco. Let's go AFC North real quick and wrap it up because this is going longer than I thought it would. Wait, we already did the AFC North, so that was it. Look at that. Look at us.
There we go.
So, yeah, no on Flacco there. Were the only disagreements we had Baker and Kirk Cousins?
Yes, I think those were the only two that we had.
Great, great content there. Great content from us. So, there you go. Next week we'll be post-Super Bowl, so we'll figure out some good stuff there. Talk about glad Matt's feeling a little bit better, and I'm slowing down on the oxycodone.
It's always a good thing.
Yeah. So appreciate everybody listening. We'll try to get back next week to a bit of a more normal schedule. Again, this is Double Take with Matt and Jake. It's on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Audioboom, anywhere you get your podcasts. If you're at this point, you obviously liked it, so you might as well give us a 5-star review. Tell us why you liked it. It helps us out with the whole algorithm thing that they use for that. So appreciate that, and we will talk to y'all next week.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good, kind of an interesting exercise.